I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The recession is here and everything in the business world seems a little bit gloomy. As marketers, we're now looking into a near future where budgets will be cut. But marketing data at the very least stipulates that those who spend through a recession usually come out winners.
So what should it be? Spend big or accept cuts? Today, me and Joe are discussing.
I'm Joe Glover, founder of The Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 36,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 20 years now, and I'm a massive believer that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers on a spreadsheet.
Very good.
Nailed that one, Joe.
Yeah, so for the first time.
Nice to see you again, Joe, in person.
Sorry, I'm just we got the laughter.
Oh, sorry. Talked over the crowd there. My bad. This is, like I was just saying to Joe before we started recording this one, is one of our earliest episodes in 2020 was around spending cuts and the reaction to what we all thought was like the impending recession. We didn't know how deep it was going to be and how long it was going to be. I mean, nobody knew what was going on. There were no playbooks. Everyone was freaking out, understandably. And one of the things we were talking about was the where does marketing end up at that point? We are coming into a recession, most likely. I'm not a finance guy, but all the indicators are there. I think there's a cost of living. Our government are trying very, very hard to drive us into the ground, but we won't go into the political side. The American economy as well is, you look scared where I'm taking this, Joe. the American economy seems to be kind of faltering as well, like oil prices and a lot of stuff going on there. When we're recording this, there's also like the House elections going on, so we don't know where that's going to be taken. So the indicators are there. It looks like we're coming into a recession. And quite often, one of the first things to be questioned is marketing budget. And I don't, like, quite often that's because it seems like it's the one that's the easiest to cut, but also the one that quite often people don't understand. And like you said in that intro, is that historically those who spend wisely are the ones who seem to come out the other side in a better position.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's so hard.
Like, you're a business owner.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, so for us, it's an interesting position in that the marketing meetup has historically been, you know, margin, pure margin. Then, you know, we've got good, you know, we've got like 1.5 people in the company. We've got a bunch of freelancers, but we've always ran events cheaply, you know, but it's never really been about lavish.
Cheap bastard.
Yeah, it's never been about like
secondhand pizza and all that.
Gosh, it's never been about, you know, lavish spending or showing off. It's always been about the feel. And so, right now, you know, things are okay. Although I am very aware that a lot of our revenue comes through sponsorship. And so, you know, for my money at least, you know, sponsoring the marketing meetup is still a great investment for people who are investing in marketing, because it makes sense on a logical level of this is how you do it. But I can see on a sort of very human level, you know, we speak about sponsorship at the marketing meetup and say, you know, probably the thing that is going to be strongest here is your brand awareness. If you're going to use this like PPC, you know, we're not last click, you know, and that's a tricky place to be in to a certain extent. I'm not too worried because our community is sort of strong. You know, we're growing in such a way where our exposure is growing. Everything makes sense, and we're not like at that very, very top level where it's like, oh God, you know, we need to cut this or the company's going
to
die.
Could you move to like a Catholic Church model of funding where you hand round one of those bowls at the end of every service?
Well, you know, we've actually, so we just started, I mean, this is completely off the topic of a session. We've actually just started taking donation tickets for the marketing meetup to attend the event in Manchester last night. Everyone paid to be there, but it was a donation ticket anywhere from, what we recommend a fiver, but people could donate as little as a quid. I mean, as it is, we donate all that money to charity. It's not money that we want. It's more about people turning up. So it's a whole different discussion about like free events and attendance rates. But right now, that's not our model. But it's an interesting thing. I'm definitely, so, you know, to answer your question directly in the context of this, like I'm mindful that people will be cutting marketing budgets. I'm also mindful that we sit right at the top of the funnel. And sponsorship is something which, you know, could feel discretionary. And so we need to be mindful in the way that we're speaking about sponsorship, the way that we're honest in our communications, that we're saying, look, it's probably going to be a great brand awareness thing. There's elements of what we can do that can be lead gen further down the funnel. But, you know, actually, that's not what it's there for more than anything. So you go in with both your eyes open and we're having that honest and clear conversation about, you know, what you can expect from these things. So I guess to broaden that out as a sort of marketing lesson, so to speak, I think it is about sort of like setting expectations and taking people on that journey of sort of like, here's how you're going to be spending, here's what you can expect in a realistic way, and, you know, do you want to get involved in that? And some folks will go, yep. Yeah. And other folks will go, you know what, we just don't have the budget right now.
But for you as a business owner, so like that's money coming in. Mm. What about your money going out?
So we don't actually spend an awful lot. So our biggest channel really for growth at the moment is social media, organic social media through my quote unquote personal brand. It's a bit douchey.
Not
bad. and word of mouth. And so word of mouth primarily also through social media. You know, we run an event, folks post on social media. That's how we grow the community. And the way that we're able to survive as a business is that through that growth, we're able to sponsor it. And so like, in terms of our spend, we've got relatively little. Things I will be thinking about, however, is like, for me, actually, the question I've got right now is, do I batten down the hatches and not hire someone else? Or do I invest in the team on the assumption that their return on investment, if they come into the company, will be more than what we can sort of outlay through them? And it's a genuine sort of point of consideration for me. I think we're going to land in a place that we're going to hire more people because that feels like where we are as a business. But there is that thing in the back of my mind now where it's like, should I just have that little nest egg? Should we just sit on that? Because we don't know how long this is going to go on for, and it's hard to know. But I think
a war chest is useful.
Yeah,
Rocky Waters, a war chest is useful.
Yeah,
but the flip side of that is you have multiple avenues you could go down with revenue models other than just taking donations in a church like that. But like, so for example, and it seems like a really grim way to look at it, but recession will often mean that jobs are lost.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often a lot of those will be marketers' jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And what that will mean, and pretty much you had with the same, like the furlough scheme, people being made redundant in during the pandemic, you had a lot of people moving towards self-education, self-improvement, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And your community gives avenues for both of those things.
Absolutely.
It also helps with, so like, well, it's classic community stuff. So like helping with like the feeling of a loneliness and all that kind of stuff.
Of course.
So I think your business is an interesting one because I think you'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
You're not kind of like pumping money out.
Yeah.
My business, on the other hand,
yeah,
I think is more likely to be affected in certain areas of what we do. So we have different services that we offer. So mm-hmm. it could be marketing delivery, CRM, strategy. There's loads of different spaces, RevOps, all those kind of things that we mm-hmm. do. And it's been quite a conscious decision on which areas we're focusing to grow with. And I think, and also growing into Canada. So mm-hmm. effectively growing and putting such an emphasis on growing into Canada,
yeah,
I'm hedging my bets. Yeah. I'm putting myself in, that would be our third economy. So UK, Ireland, and Canada,
uh-huh,
gives us some wiggle room if one economy collapses or, yeah, if the pound crashes, yep, thanks to Liz Truss,
you become very cheap.
We become very cheap to deliver in another nation, but we still maintain the ideals of quality that, like, rightly or wrongly, British services still have an air of quality about them when they're perceived overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things, we have boots on the ground in all those regions. So it's not like we're just coming in imperialistically saying buy our services now. We are hiring on the ground. Maybe not the right way to put that. But that is, so that, like, I'm hedging my bets regionally.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm doing is we're focused on the areas of growth where we think there will be continued growth. Now, I think that CRM, strategy, RevOps are the smarter plays in our space.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that over the pandemic, and we're already seeing that now, is the budgets for those services, the budgets come out of multiple pots.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing delivery services, the budget comes out of marketing teams.
Interesting.
So what I want is to be in a space where the budget is being considered across multiple teams.
Uh-huh.
I'm less likely to be cut. Projects are less likely to stop.
Uh-huh.
So that's how we're approaching it. I have a tongue-in-cheek, semi-cavalier approach to recessions, and my plan is to just try and outsell it, which I know sounds ridiculous, but that is, like, we have a large sales team in terms of where we sit in the ecosystem. We have a lot of activity going through. So we have our own internal marketer. We have a lot of tech stack that is helping us in kind of outreach, lead gen, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And all of that is feeding into this machine of trying to make sure that we've got enough activity and the net is cast far enough wide. But also we're doing the stuff that is helping customers in a way where we're invaluable.
Yeah.
And it comes back to the podcast we did on the AI side. What we're trying to do is focus on services that aren't easily replicable.
Yeah.
So that is either, like, skill set based, capacity based, or just outright knowledge based.
So it's interesting that you mentioned strategy as part of that. So I really like the logic, actually, of sort of going cross budget and cross departments.
Way smarter than I looked, Joe.
I'm not sure. No. but I can understand. So RevOps, I'm going to assume, is like bottom of the funnel sort of activity that directly generates revenue opportunities. Is that right?
RevOps is much more like full funnel. So it's the combination of sales and marketing, the alignment of sales and marketing, the looking at the tech, people and processes that are driving revenue through your business.
Interesting.
And primarily, like, the sweet spot is aligning the sales and marketing piece.
Right. So that's interesting in itself then, because I was going to ask, like, whether, because these two things feel quite high level. They feel away from the marketing operations side of things. And it's curious that folks are investing at that high level rather than sort of like these short-term gains, you know, these short-term tactics. And so is that purely because they're splitting their budget across these things? Or is it, my gut instinct would have been that people would just like go, let's hammer PPC and let's forget about out of home, for example, because we don't know what out of home is doing, but we know that PPC works. So actually, are you not seeing that the people are investing that sort of top level, that sort of ephemeral sort of thing that sort of fits quite separate, actually, to sort of direct revenue generation?
Strategy, everything we do across the business has always been strategy driven, strategically driven for the client. So whenever, even if we're just implementing HubSpot, there has to be a roadmap, a baseline of what are we doing this for? How are we going to achieve it? What's the process? If you don't have that, you fall into the tactical piece. The tactical piece, and like, out of home will probably be one of the first things to be cut. Event budgets, conference budgets, out of home are normally the first casualties. Depending on the industry, some people are like, no, this is actually works for us, whatever, that's great. But I think that is all very tactically, if you're just making it based on numbers, even with PPC, you can have a sharp drop in a short term, but actually long term, it's still going to be part of the mainstay strategy. Like there's, I forget the example, but there's a classic example of during the pandemic, there was an organization, like it was B2C or DTC, where they have cut their PPC.
Yeah.
Their competitors have grown their PPC. Yeah, they had shit results, but because they'd done that process, they'd had much more brand awareness, much more presence, and now have outstripped them and kind of performing over the bottom.
Isn't that Airbnb? I think something like, Airbnb have done a similar thing at the very least, and I think like 90% of their traffic now is direct. You know, which is, and they're not paying that tax. They're not paying the Google tax. You know,
and that's, I think there's like, that's where I think marketers, and I include myself in that, is we often fall into the trap of tactics. Like in one of the previous podcasts, we talked about Sarah, our marketer, where I throw a million ideas at her and she's very good at kind of taking those on and like engaging with them and executing them. What the failing in that is, driven by me, is that they're very tactical changes. There's no overarching strategy, and that overarching strategy should be there to go, no, Rich, this is outside of the remits of what we plan to do this quarter.
Yeah.
So therefore we should follow down this path.
Yeah.
And I think coming back to your point, strategy for us is one of the biggest, like it's one of our top ticket items in terms of like how often it's bought from us, like as a revenue line.
Yeah.
Strategy is one of our main. And that is because that is the thing that is needed most, particularly when you've got fluctuations in markets.
Mm-hmm. When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's interesting. I mean, I find that fascinating and actually quite encouraging in a way, you know, because I think if folks are sort of embracing that and saying, actually, that makes a lot more sense. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised. I think sometimes we can characterize our clients and our customers as like, oh, they just don't get it, you know, but actually what you're saying there is really encouraging. You know, these people are trying to find consistency and consistency, albeit through fluctuating times, but by having that strategy in place, then of course you can flux, you can change things, but actually finding that, that's really encouraging. I really like that because it actually goes counter to a lot of things that I hear folks sort of say, oh, they had no strategy, you know, and they just spent money and then they didn't get marketing, which is sort of speaking to a lot of the problems that we often discuss about recessions as well, you know, that, oh, they don't get marketing and therefore they cut the budget. Actually, it's quite interesting to hear you say that because it sounds like they do get marketing to, you know, at least to a certain extent. This might be the microcosm of your clients at the very least, but it's encouraging to hear that.
It's, so I am a massive advocate of wherever possible, don't cut the marketing budget.
Yeah.
Because you come through this, you then don't have anybody to sell to.
Yeah.
There are times where that's just not an option. So I'm a non-exec for a business in a separate industry.
Uh-huh.
And they are in a position where they had, like, I think they had about 6 weeks until all their money had gone.
Yeah.
And they were talking about still wanting to hire a marketer.
Really?
And they were, and like, logically they were like, well, if we can get through this patch, we're going to need this person. So like, I understand the logic from that point of view, but my view back to them, and the counter to my argument that I was making to them was that they were like, well, we're going to run out in 6 weeks anyway. Yeah. If we don't hire this person, that'll take us to like Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, but that gives you an extra 2 weeks or 4 weeks to be able to land that business that keeps it. So you're extending your runway to a certain degree. And I think there are times where actually you just need to bring in some cash and they have to make those tough decisions. But wherever possible, find the money elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, bang on. You know, I think it's fair. I mean, it's a curious thing. So actually, I want to pick up on that there when you say try and find the money elsewhere, because it's not always easy, right? Because marketing is seen as discretion. it didn't get that reputation for no reason at all. You know, if you cut the finance team, for example, then your reporting goes and you go to jail. You know, if you cut HR, then you get some processes wrong and you go to jail.
You know? But it's, you say like it didn't get that reason for the reason marketing has that reputation is mm-hmm. because marketers have historically been super shit at showing ROI.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's entirely our fault.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we can start showing those things, we can show the credibility of what we're actually doing.
Mm.
And my argument, depending on how you sell and what your positioning is sales, like if you look at marketing to a certain degree, and this is very dependent on your sales process, but if you look at marketing as foundational, bringing in opportunities, mm-hmm. sales close opportunities,
yep.
gross generalization yep. of both sides. But if you look at it in that kind of process, then if you keep the foundational bit,
yeah.
when you come through the other side of it, you still have something there.
Yeah.
Whereas if you cut marketing and don't cut sales, so mm-hmm. A, the salespeople don't have anything to sell to during that period, but also yeah. what are they going to do at the back end of it?
Yeah.
So I look at it almost a foundational piece. And then it depends on the organization, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if it's a large organization, a la Twitter,
yeah.
there's a lot to be like, cut in certain areas, rightly or wrongly. There's and then if you look at so like an organization on my level, there will be elements that could or couldn't, and like obviously it's nothing that anybody ever wants to talk about,
mm.
but I would say marketing is one of those spaces where it needs to be seen as a foundational to bring you out the other side, not just an expense at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And but it comes down to marketers just don't typically show ROI very well.
Mm. So that's a great point. So how can, you know, I mean, like, this is a big question, right? You know, but this is, I think you have more of these conversations than that I do, you know, where you go into a client and say, hey, look, we've done this activity, you know, it's both a notice of what you have done, but it's also a justification for the spend that they've sort of put in your pockets.
This is why agencies do reports.
Yeah.
Like agencies deliver monthly reports, quarterly uh-huh. reports, annual reports.
Uh-huh.
To prove their worth. Hey, yeah. Mr. Client, look, I am doing something. This is what it comes back to.
Uh-huh.
And this is also why I would say most agencies report on a lot of vanity metrics.
Mm.
We got you these amount of views, these amount of like clicks, whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Uh-huh.
What revenue did that activity bring in?
Uh-huh.
It's the revenue piece that is the important bit to look at because yeah. it's the only thing that actually matters.
Yeah.
Like the other stuff is leading indicators. Great. Uh-huh. All right, you've done some activity. Uh-huh. Fine. Don't actually care.
Yeah.
So my reporting from our marketing, we look at opportunities mm-hmm. and revenue generated.
Right.
They're the things I care about because uh-huh. they're the ones that are actually going to tell me something.
Yeah.
Because if we're generating opportunities, but it's not coming through the sales, then there's something going on there.
Yeah.
But there's like the revenue bit is where marketers should be. Like ages ago, I put like a LinkedIn post around like Maslow's hierarchy of needs for marketers or whatever it was. And mm-hmm. I was like, the main one, fucking revenue.
Yeah.
And like I got a bunch of like people going, no, that's not right, we should be focusing on this and that. And I was like, this is a hill I'm gonna die on, because I think the main one was like, no, profit should be. And I was like,
yeah.
profit doesn't make sense as a marketer. Marketers, to unless it's like from PPC channels or you're selling widgets or whatever,
mm-hmm.
profit you've got no effect on, because there's operational things that go on outside of your control.
Mm-hmm.
You should only be targeted on things that are within your control mm-hmm. or within your sphere of influence. Revenue is because yeah. let's say my marketer, Sarah, generates a lead.
Yeah.
If my sales team spend 12 months and we've had to bring in multiple internal assets to deliver on that, to in that sales process,
yeah.
the cost of sales gone through the roof.
Uh-huh.
But that, so the profit margin is coming down, 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 down. Uh-huh. She can't affect that.
Yeah.
All she can affect is the cost per lead, the channels that are coming in, that's what she can affect. But as long as it's generating revenue, then it's okay.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting thing, because from a marketing purist perspective, then marketers should have him hooked on stuff like the price, stuff like the product, you know, promotion.
Price, place. Yes.
And so I wonder to what extent, you know, so like there's two points here. The first is that I think your point about communication reporting is bang on. You know, actually, like, that's the thing that we need to be doing here. You know, that feels like the quote unquote solution. You know, if we're saying, if we're accepting the hypothesis that you shouldn't be cutting your spending because you need something to come out the other end of it, then continuing to spend is a really, really important thing to do. And we need to take people on that journey of convincing them that that is indeed the right theory. Bang on. I'm really with you on that. I think there's an interesting point, which I wonder to what extent your agency background is like, you know, feeding your experience here, which is that you probably don't have input over stuff like price in the same way. And so by reporting on revenue, then you're reporting on the thing that you can influence. I have some sympathy for the people who like, it should be profit, because in the marketing purist world, it should be profit.
I get it, but that's pricing.
Yeah.
Yes, they can have an influence on
yeah.
what it costs to deliver that. Uh-huh. Like, so the cost of creating a widget, or the cost of delivering a service, or yeah. the cost of sale that isn't a marketing spend.
Yeah.
The marketer has no input over that.
No,
so
no,
pricing,
no.
yes. Okay, so let's say you sell a widget for $10.
Mm-hmm.
You've generated a lead, yeah. or you've generated a sale.
Yeah.
It cost you $5.
Yeah.
You have made $5 profit. But actually, that's only on the top level. What about the cost to deliver that? Okay, so actually the widget cost $2 to create. Mm-hmm. It cost $2 to actually get it in the consumer's hands.
Yeah.
So actually we're very quickly down to a dollar's profit.
Yeah.
So $4 of that, the marketer had absolutely no control over.
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay, we've gone into a pandemic.
Yeah.
The delivery process, the fulfillment process
yeah.
is shut down. We've had to make reimburse costs of shipping, all that kind of stuff, all outside of your control.
Mm.
So the only thing you can reliably have control over, in my opinion,
yeah.
is revenue.
Yeah.
Because outside of pricing and the cost of marketing,
yeah.
what can you influence?
That's
apart from being in a boardroom, and as a CMO, being in a boardroom, you could go, this is wrong because you guys aren't delivering on your part, but you don't yeah. actually have any control over that other than being a voice in the room.
I think that's such a great point, in the sense that from a marketing purist perspective, like, you know, the textbook marketing stuff, you know, profit is probably the answer. But actually from a realist perspective, you know, in the room, having the conversations like you are, that's the reality, right? You know, that's what's happening, you know, and we don't control everything in the same way as we could or indeed should. And so, you know, I definitely can see how you've come to that conclusion. You know, I sit outside, you know, I probably am closer to a professional, a professor than I'm a practitioner.
To a professional, for sure.
I'm closer to a professor than I'm a practitioner a lot these days, because I digest a lot of marketing theory. I speak with a lot of practitioners, and I do bits and pieces, of course, for the business. But, you know, it's a really, really interesting perspective to hear from you in that way. So the things that like folks can take away from this episode, I think, is first of all about sort of we need to be speaking about ROI seriously. You know, we're going into tough times, so we need to be able to justify it. I think there's a big thing about communication as well. So we need to be communicating that value, probably using the ROI. But I think there's also a big thing about like just speaking with people, and sort of like the thing that you explained at sort of about halfway through, where you're like, we need something at the end of this. We don't need to just survive tomorrow. We need to survive next week as well. You know, that's an important story to tell. And if no one else is sort of telling that story, then it's an important thing. So that feels like another important thing. Do you have anything extra though that folks could or indeed should be doing?
I think you summed it up quite nicely. Like, I think that communication piece and consistently communicating the value that marketing is putting in,
uh-huh.
I think is key for marketers going into a recession.
Uh-huh.
I think being reactive isn't going to work. Like, no. You have to be proactively making the case for why marketing is a good thing.
Yeah.
But equally, like we talked about strategy being super important, it also has to be strategy at speed at times. So tactical changes
mm-hmm.
are fine as long as they're guided by an overall strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But if the arsehole really falls out of the economy,
mm-hmm.
and things change quickly. No one saw the pound crashing that quickly.
No.
Like, nobody saw it happening at that point. strategy sometimes has to be changed very quickly, and it can almost feel tactical.
Yeah.
So I think marketers need to be aware that those kind of things have to happen. You have to shoot from the hip, mm-hmm. but you also need to make sure that you're bringing on the rest of the C-suite, the rest of the decision makers along that journey as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like the sales team, the ops team, the decision makers over marketing, over and above like that CMO marketing director role.
I love that. We called this podcast Humans Come First, right? You know, it's interesting that I always reflect on this, that we can sit there and we can sort of speak about, you know, theory, et cetera, but so often it just comes down to that bunch of humans collaborating on this thing and actually sort of like doing it together and having those conversations in an adult and reasonable way. I'm going to use a cliche here, but singing from the same hymn sheet, you know, and that's pretty remarkable, you know, that even in, we've done the AI episode, you know, but in 2022, 23, it doesn't matter, 2070, it's still going to sit at the core of everything we do. So important. So,
well, I think you probably agree on this, and I am going to put words in your mouth, but one of the most important aspects of marketing is empathy and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to do that if you work in isolation, mm-hmm. and you're not having conversations with people, mm-hmm. you're not giving people FaceTime, like either digitally, remotely, or just kind of being present with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the things that need to happen, particularly as we go into turbulent times, because it's very easy to become keyboard warrior. When things are getting difficult and you're not actually seeing, and the whole remote working piece blows that up. It's very difficult sometimes.
It's visibility in your communication as well, you know, and I like it.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.